Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
The band is back together.
Yes!
You're listening to Nerdette Recaps, Game of Thrones with Peter Sagal. I am Greta Johnson.
And I'm Trisha Bobita, and we are joined by our friend Peter Sagal.
We're back! I've missed you guys.
Oh, hey, Peter.
He's the best Jewish male public radio host when you can't afford Ira Glass.
Now, look.
We needed just like a level set.
My,
you know?
If you had asked me, I would have recommended saving that, perhaps.
Oh, no.
You're like a little kid. You couldn't wait to get home with the treat. You had to open it up right away in the car, guys.
We sure did, yeah.
All right.
I am totally okay with that.
Yeah. New patriarchy jingles. If you
heck
hadn't
yeah.
figured it out, courtesy of our friends, and I use the term advisedly, my friend,
yeah.
friend, Paul and Storm, Paul Saburin and Storm
yeah,
D. Constanza.
Do you still think of them as your friends?
It was really weird. So I wrote to Paul and I said, hey, Paul, last season, Recaps is coming up. We'd love some more patriarchy jingles. Everybody loves them. He said, no problem. And he sent them to me. And I wrote back and I said, these are so hilariously mean.
Yeah, they
to
are
me.
Exactly that. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank
and he
you,
wrote back
Paul
and he said, we have a weird relationship. And I really can't disagree with him.
Okay, so I imagine that some people listening actually have not heard Nerdette Recaps Game of Thrones before now.
How could that be
They're
possible?
They're jumping on this bandwagon, so I thought we should just take a couple of minutes to explain who we are and why we care or not about this show.
All right.
Do you want to start, Peter?
Well, all right. My name is Peter Sagal. I host this other show, but beyond my public facade of sophisticated game show host, I am a massive nerd. I use that in the metaphorical sense and actually physically not too prepossessing. And because I am a massive nerd and grew up as one, I have been obsessed with Game of Thrones, lo, these many years.
Well, and it kind of was the case that the producers of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me were like, okay, Peter, enough with sneaking
yes,
in the dragon jokes
that was
in
a problem.
The NPR news quiz.
This is in many ways both a pleasure for me and a kind of rehab.
So
because
if
I wasn't doing it with you guys, I'd be doing it with people who just didn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make us methadone of some kind?
Oh,
or?
A little bit.
Interesting.
A little bit.
So, yeah, you walked down to the newsroom at WBEZ a couple years back
yes.
and asked Trisha and I, who were hosting a podcast called Nerdette.
Yes.
Which is all about all things nerd.
Indeed.
If we'd be game to recap.
As it were. You made a little pun.
And, oh yeah, game to recap.
Yeah,
I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It took me a second. And here we are, years later.
I've missed your disdain, Greta. I really have. Yes, I have people who treat me that well. I have people in my life who treat me that way, but none with such elan.
Well, here we are. It has been 595 days.
That is crazy.
Since
wow.
we saw an episode on the television of Game of Thrones.
Well, a new it's one.
So
we've all been
long.
Obsessively rewatching.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
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 I mean, it's 2 full years, more or less, of just like waiting for this damn last season. So we thought it would be useful to for people who haven't been rewatching
yes.
to kind of recap where things left off in season 7. And kind of what to look out for. Trisha especially has done like a deep dive into the trailer literature around
I
all of that.
I expected no less.
Yes.
So
I
we'll
have
talk
been
about
reading
that.
And watching the internet.
And I'm also
intensely.
Really curious who you guys are most sad to see die. Because with like 6 episodes left of
yeah.
this season 8, like shit's going to go down.
Oh, yeah. We are going to, there's going to be a lot of glorious and there's going to be a lot of deaths, glorious and otherwise.
Right. So, yeah, those are kind of like my 3 main points that I think we should get through.
Let's do it.
All okay. right.
Let's be an efficient recap of the recaps of the recap.
That
yeah.
is very
that we have
ambitious
done in the past.
It is extraordinarily meta. You could build whole libraries if it wasn't all in the internet of stuff written about Game of Thrones. It's crazy how much there is
it's
out there.
It's insane. Well, and I think once you have 2 years to really think about it.
Yes.
There's just been a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
So I kind of think we should start at Eastwatch.
Why not?
Because holy shit.
So what we want to do here is we want to just sort of remind everybody where
yep.
everything
where
was left
yep,
when
exactly.
last we visited with these people.
Yes.
2 years ago.
Yes. So at Eastwatch, we have the question of whether or not Tormund is alive.
Tormund is alive.
According to the trailer.
Yes.
Yes.
He looks super alive, but we didn't
and,
know that
well,
at the end of episode 7.
I, like I'm sure you guys did, rewatched all of season 7.
Yep.
I have
I did
thoughts.
Not do that.
But there, if you, and I did watch quite as carefully as I could the sequence, the final sequence of season seven, where the ice dragon attacks and the wall falls down. And it does seem as if Tormund and Beric, who were standing on top of the wall, managed to get to the stairway and start descending the wall before it collapses. So I think there is a plausible case for their surviving this.
Or they jumped into some of the magic snow that saved Sansa and Theon that one time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. The magic snow that is incredibly, what's the word, cushioning, despite it being a centimeter thick. That stuff.
Yep. The magic snow.
Yeah.
And we had, of course, the maybe not so surprising but still insane ice dragon situation.
The ice dragon. It's
Which,
Viserion,
like, oh my
right?
God. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is Viserion.
Yeah. We figured that out. He's back.
Yeah.
Someone pointed out, and I think rightfully so, that this kind of makes it more of a fair fight.
Yes.
But also, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what actually happens, because now if it's just sort of two air forces fighting, that's not as interesting.
Well, it is. I mean, I don't know if this is the right time to do this, but I have thoughts now about season seven.
Gather around and listen while old Peter Sagal mansplains this show to you.
Because if you watch it having seen it, it seems to me that certain things become clear. And to make it brief, the entirety of season seven, including all the things that we made fun of, all the dumb things, all the dumb decisions, all the ridiculous, how quick can Gendry run back to the wall, and how quick does
his marathon length sprint,
all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all basically for, I think, in service of two overriding purposes. The first is to have Jon Snow and Dany, as he calls her once and indicatively, fall in love. Mm-hmm. Not just hook up, but fall in love.
Yes.
I think there's so much time is spent in season seven giving them moments. Mm-hmm.
That scene in the cave.
Oh,
yes.
God. Oh, my
so
God.
And the touching of the hand after the rest. And it's all building up to the big moment where Dany sacrifices a dragon to save Jon, and Jon tries or almost sacrifices his. I had forgotten about that mm-hmm. he doesn't fly off in the dragon when the dragon comes to rescue, that he stays behind for vague reasons to try to somehow protect them, and he ends up almost getting killed, and Uncle Benjen runs in and saves him at the last minute, blah, blah, blah. Because in Game of Thrones, love language is giving yourself up to the risk of violent death.
Sacrificial.
Right.
Yep.
So that was the first purpose, to actually have them fall in love, which I think is important, and we can talk about that when we talk about what we think is coming up. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is to give the Night King a dragon.
Yeah.
To get the dragon up there.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is a much more compelling fight, I think.
Right. Because if he didn't have it, I mean, as you say, you know, you're talking about like two dragons against one, and he's got spears and... But that's a lot more interesting than dragons coming in.
All the dragons.
Especially since fire kills them handily. Yeah.
Yes. That's it would be a pretty dull fight if only Daenerys had dragons. Also, we now know who the third dragon rider is. It's the Night King. Remember, mm-hmm. there was this prophecy, there'll be three-headed dragon, three riders. It's going to be Jon Snow.
People thought maybe Tyrion.
It's going to be Daenerys, and it's going to be the Night King.
Which means poor Tyrion doesn't get to be the third, and we thought maybe he would be the third.
It would have been pretty cool if Tyrion got a dragon.
It would have been pretty cool.
Should we go to Winterfell?
Let's.
Talk about who's at Winterfell?
Everybody is getting there.
Yeah.
I also noticed rewatching how many times in the final episode people said, we're going to Winterfell.
Uh-huh.
We'll
Everybody meet at Winterfell.
Everybody
exciting.
Meet at Winterfell.
It's like friends making plans before cell phones. You had to be really clear
yes,
about
exactly.
where you were going and why.
Winterfell.
Yes.
So Sansa's in charge of Winterfell.
Sansa's in charge.
She's doing pretty good work.
Insofar as being Lady Stark of Winterfell.
And killing Littlefinger.
Killing Littlefinger. I have thoughts about that.
As a Peter, we thought you might.
I know. There were a couple of things that I think I overly criticized last season for during the time we were talking
wow,
about.
Wow, that's a very nice
There was some whinging, if folks haven't listened
whinging,
back.
There was some whinging. There was some serious whinging. For example, you may remember me saying, why doesn't Dany fly off in her dragons and, like, find out where everybody is and do some
recon missions? Recon. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I miss this. They actually talk about that in one episode.
Oh,
Dany says,
go.
I'm going to go fly off and find where Euron's fleet is. And they say, you can't do that. It's too dangerous. You go out there, an arrow will knock you off, and then we're all screwed. So they at least discussed
That's
it.
That's nice.
But the one thing I stand by is how utterly pointless the whole Littlefinger at Winterfell plot was. It makes no sense. Mm. You have, once again, Sansa and Arya arguing so as to make us in the audience think they're
– Yeah, the fake argument.
The fake argument is annoying. And there's no – and here's also something I didn't notice or at least understand as well the first time I watched it. If you had asked me what had happened in the trial scene,
mm-hmm.
I would have said, well, they kill Littlefinger and they accuse him of trying to, you know, sow dissent between Sansa and Arya, which mm-hmm. is what we've watched him doing. Mm-hmm. That's not what they really do. what they do is they accuse Littlefinger, correctly, of everything he's done.
Yeah, starting the whole
thing. Because now that the three-eyed raven can combine forces with Sansa, Sansa witnessed plenty of what she described firsthand.
For sure. Including the killing of Lysa, Aunt Lysa, right?
Lysa Arryn.
Yeah, Lysa Arryn at the, and all the other things that she didn't see, Bran did. So here's the evidence, you're guilty. Right. Which means two things. Again, the whole thing with Arya and Sansa was pointless.
I still liked that, though. I mean, I think that one scene was annoying, but I like that they teamed up against him. I think that's cool.
Well, that is cool, you know? But they could have and should have and probably did do that at the first episode of last season, but they needed to drag it out, which is why it ended up being annoying.
Yes, that was the annoying part. But I think especially given how, the last time they were together was what? Episode one, season one, pretty much?
Yes.
And they fought mercilessly, right? Because they're such different people. Sansa always wanted to be the Lady of Winterfell. She wanted to wear pretty dresses and marry a handsome man. And Arya wasn't into any of that. She wanted to fight. She wanted, and so to see them like have both gone on those separate paths and come back around, and now Arya can essentially be her henchman.
Like Lord High Executioner.
Is like kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's great. I love the fact that they've partnered up. I'm just annoyed that they threw all this this stuff at us, I'll say, before they let it happen.
Since we're in Winterfell, should this be when we discuss what is going on with Bran, who is technically in some way not Bran anymore?
No. Yes. I just wrote Bran is a creepo.
He is continually a creepo. And he knows everything, but he's kind of weirdly shy about sharing everything, except when he wants to. And you don't know why he wants to.
It feels like he needs some level of detail about where to look in his mind palace.
Yes.
To take the
with
Sherlock.
Sam being like, well,
could you just look what's filed under annulments and weddings?
I will say again, having rewatched, perhaps the single funniest moment in all of Game of Thrones is when Bran says, I'm the three-eyed raven now. And Sam says,
I don't know what that means.
Sam says, oh.
Yeah. John Bradley.
How nice for you.
John Bradley is so good.
Yes.
I hope we get as much Sam as possible in the next season.
Me
too. That is one of my wants.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and it's exciting that he's at Winterfell already.
Yes.
So he's there. Gilly's there.
Yes.
And we also have Brienne and Podrick.
Right. Brienne is on the way back, right? Because she had gone down to the summit.
Yes, that's true.
To the zombie summit.
And so had Podrick.
She's marching back. Jaime's on his way. Everybody's heading to Winterfell.
Yeah.
Everybody who's anybody, with the exception of Cersei and Euron and Theon, who at the end of season 7 is often finally on his mission to go rescue his sister.
Maybe. I still don't totally believe it.
Yeah.
Can we call Winterfell Stark Party Central? What do you guys think? Right?
It's going down.
Like it's going to be good at Winterfell.
It's going to be where it all happens.
And do we think Gendry is at the Winterfell forges? Is that where we think he is?
Yeah.
Well, the last we saw of Gendry, is he runs up to the wall with you have to send a raven. And he's dragged into Eastwatch by the Sea. Have we seen him since then?
No, but in the trailer, we see him forging some things in a forge.
Oh, I'm sure he's at Winterfell forging.
Okay.
He'll always be forging. Forging and rowing. Rowing and forging.
Jon and Daenerys are heading to White Harbor.
There was another moment I kind of missed, which I loved. There's a moment, it's one of the penultimate scenes.
Is it Jon Snow's butt?
It is not Jon Snow's butt. It leads up to Jon Snow's butt. They're talking, I guess are they back at Dragonstone? How'd they get back to Dragonstone?
Right, they're in the room talking over the table.
They flew back to Dragonstone on the dragon. And they're saying, all right, how should we all go to Winterfell? And Jon says, I'm going to sail to White Harbor for some plot reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, Daenerys should fly on her dragon. And then somebody comes up with it. And Jon, I think, comes up with a complete nonsense reason why she should sail with him to White Harbor.
Uh-huh.
And Daenerys is like, yes, I shall sail with him to White Harbor. And everybody in the room
goes,
like,
oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Get a room. Oh, that's what you did.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to get a ride with Bob back home from the prom because he's going my way. Oh, are you? Is that why? It's geographically convenient.
So Tyrion's also on the boat, and Davos is on the
creepily
boat, too,
watching.
Right?
Creepily watching.
He wasn't actually watching, though, right? He was
standing
listening.
Outside being sort of painfully aware.
Yeah, he's, like, definitely
aware.
On the other side of the door. But I don't think he was, like, actually, like,
he's not
watching.
In the room watching, but he's creepily
he wasn't pulling a thing.
Realizing
He knows what's up, and he doesn't seem happy about it. And it turns out, not only us, a lot of people speculated on his feelings in that shot, i.e., is he concerned politically for this alliance and what it will do, or is he sad that he's always the bride's groom, never the groom. Groomsman, never the groom?
I don't know. There's a version of this that could end with Tyrion and Sansa on the Iron Throne.
I would
Are they technically still married?
Because
she
wondering
married Ramsay after she was married to Tyrion.
So the question is sort of like they never consummated. So does that mean it's not a legal marriage in this world? And also did the subsequent marriage sort of negate the other? Mm-hmm. But in the world of the show, it must have been because the whole point of the Boltons taking a Stark was so that there could be a legitimate Stark in Winterfell and to sort of help their political alliance. And everybody knew that she had married Tyrion. So that must have been just how it works. Like, you don't have to divorce. You just get a new marriage.
You get a new marriage.
Which is convenient. It would save a lot of people a lot of money. Let's be honest.
Or as we found out, or just to give her credit, Gilly found out, there is such a thing as annulment.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you would think that you'd have to.
So presumably they did something like that. Although you did just bring up something I haven't thought of. Sansa has always wanted to be the lady of a great house, meaning she has to get married. So I haven't seen anybody speculating, who's Sansa going to marry?
I like the
Robin
idea
Aaron?
Of Tyrion.
Oh, God.
Ass. Yeah, Robin Aaron.
Oh.
He's the most likely to survive this all. The Vale is very well protected. He's not in the middle of the fight.
You've forgotten who Robin Aaron is, this is the preteen who breastfed his mother.
And the last time we saw him, they were trying to train him to be a fighter.
Did not go well.
Oh, did not. God. He's like standing there going, which
God,
is what I
really
immediately said I would do in his situation, no matter what I might fantasize about. Yeah, it would be hilarious because I know that the creators of the show love having Deus Ex Machina's last-minute rescues.
Super convenient.
We've seen it many, many times. Most recently, Benjen saving Jon. We've seen it with the Knights of the Vale at the Battle of the Bastards so many times. Wouldn't it be funny if the Deus Ex Machina, the guy who rides in at the head of the army to save everybody, is
Robin Aaron?
Little Robin Aaron.
Oh, God.
Hello, I learned how to fight.
So the boat is full of dragon glass, right? Isn't that the whole point?
Well, there was a boat that had dragon glass.
Okay, so maybe
there was. But Jon had already left in that boat.
Okay,
which is why I think they had those dragon glass weapons at the Fight of the Lords.
As we know in Game of Thrones.
Just figured it was worth mentioning the dragon glass.
Time passes in whatever way is most convenient.
Yes.
So ships full of dragon glass could have been going to Winterfell the whole time the zombie summit was happening.
This is very true. Well, should we head to town? It's snowing in King's Landing, which I thought was very exciting.
It was like the last shot when Lannister Jaime is riding away in the snow. Yes, because winter has come, you say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have Cersei trying to hold down the fort.
Yeah, she's got her plan, which she laid out pretty clearly, more clearly again than I remembered.
To Jaime.
The idea is everybody's army goes north. They fight the White Walkers, the Army of the Dead.
They're decimated.
Meanwhile, Euron didn't really run away. He went to get the 20,000 strong Golden Company, series of mercenaries, led by a character named, Harry Strickland.
Who loves you, baby?
And presumably they'll show up at some key moment, either before or, I would guess, more likely after the huge battle that we're going to have. I'm told in episode 3, is that correct?
Yes. Sure?
That's what we hear.
Yes. And so who else is in? Oh, and Cersei says she's pregnant.
Yes.
Is worth reminding folks about, too.
One thing I caught with my own far shallower reading of the internet than Trish's is that there's a lot of speculation that Cersei, since there was so much discussion about the fact that she's pregnant, isn't really pregnant.
Right.
That it's all a ruse.
It's all a ruse. And that since there's so much discussion about how the fact that Dany can't be pregnant, she is.
Yes. I do think
or will
that
be very
line
shortly.
Of Dany saying, I can't have children, and John being like, are you sure, though?
Yeah.
Because a witch once told me. That was one of Jon Snow's finer moments to go like, you should get a second medical opinion because this came from a witch one time.
I do think an interesting question is whether Tyrion will tell Daenerys that Cersei is pregnant.
Oh, we're meant to believe that something happened between Tyrion and Cersei that we didn't see. Some deal was struck. Some conversation was had. We don't know what it is. We don't know how long we will go without knowing what Tyrion and Cersei actually decided.
So let's go over that, because this is not something I've tracked. So what we saw, and again, I just rewatched it. So they have the quote-unquote disastrous meeting where
the zombie summit.
Won't lie.
God.
I love the fact that everybody's like, why didn't you lie? All right. He didn't lie. Cersei's like, what the hell with you? And turns and walks away. Tyrion says, well, I'll go see her because she probably won't kill me, but she might.
But she might kill me, but I'm going to go.
Peter Dinklage in that scene, I rewatched that episode last night. He is fantastic in that scene. It's really one of the finer sort of like Lannister talk-offs.
And I remember we talked last year, I almost said. It was 2 years ago about how great it was to see those two actors again in a room.
Yes.
But then there was that great moment where he looks at her. I thought it was because she wasn't drinking, but they don't really flag that. He just looks at her and says, you're pregnant, which is great.
She does a like dramatic stomach hold.
Yes.
I think also her concern for the future That's how I read that
that's
too.
How he,
is her like
because right. all she ever cares
seems
about
much
is her
more
children.
Invested exactly
yeah.
in taking care of things that made him think it wasn't just
right,
a
which
totally
makes him
selfish.
That's like yeah. that was it was a long time since we saw Tyrion actually be smart about something, so it was nice. So Trisha, your theory then is that some other conversation then transpired after that moment.
We didn't see that
where the scene ends.
Right? Yeah, because the scene doesn't end with him walking out of the room, and
right.
sort of all of those cuts always feel intentional, right? Like
right.
if you don't see the sword cut through somebody and their head come off, they might not be dead.
Except for Stannis, who's dead.
Who is, well, who knows?
He's dead.
All right.
Oh, God.
He's also
Stannis
the worst.
Comes back.
I know. He is. He was the worst, and now he's dead.
But I think that it's very possible that there's some conversation, some deal that was struck, something that was said that we didn't see. And whether that's just Tyrion lying to Cersei or Tyrion lying to Dany or mm-hmm. he hasn't decided in his heart of hearts what
yeah.
he's going to do at the end of all of this. I think that that's actually the most interesting.
So you think Tyrion it's has some secret knowledge that he hasn't shared with anybody that he got from Cersei?
Well, I think
mean,
even
he
her being pregnant
oh, yeah.
is one thing, right? But you think beyond that even.
Maybe making a promise that like he's like, listen, like
oh.
Daenerys listens to me. I will convince her to do X. Like we will get rid of this Jon Snow, you know, character.
Oh, wow.
Or something like that. Like it
you
could
think
be,
he made a deal.
I think he made a deal, oh. but I don't know that who he's lying to.
Yeah.
But I think he is always sort of trying to make everybody think it's in their best interest to listen to him and to trust him.
Right.
And so he's like sort of a double agent.
See,
in this situation.
I would say that I think you're wrong, except for the fact that you're usually right.
What a conundrum for you, Peter.
For me, when I want to tell you you're wrong. Anyway, I haven't thought of that. I guess that could happen. And it would be nice to see Tyrion do something genuinely crafty because we talked about this. Everybody talked about this, how incredibly frustrating it was to see Tyrion be so dumb
yeah.
for an
yeah,
entire
yeah.
season.
It's
yeah.
been a while yeah. since crafty Tyrion.
Yeah.
Well, and it was also very satisfying to see Jaime actually leave Cersei. Like,
yeah.
you are crazy. I'm going to go help.
And there is a shot in the trailer of Jaime at Winterfell. Somebody said that he's in northern garb, which I guess indicates that he has chosen a side, at least for that moment.
Yeah.
Well, or just that it's very cold.
Yes.
In Winterfell.
Yes.
And we're just describing the two little brothers of Cersei, one of whom is probably going to kill her.
You really believe that's going to happen?
I think the Valenqar like prophecy.
Remind me what that was again.
So Maggie the Frog
right.
told her that she would have three children who would all die.
Which is true.
Check. Again, I just said you shouldn't listen to witches, but now I'm saying let's listen to the witch.
Uh-huh.
Three children who would all die, check, and that she would be killed by her little brother. Now, Jaime was born second.
Right.
And Tyrion is also her little brother. So
right.
either of them could be
that does seem
the
like
Queen
a
Slayer.
Classic feint to make her think it's Tyrion.
Right.
But in
yeah.
a kind of, you know, I was from my mother's womb untimely ripped kind of thing. Turns out Jaime is the little brother. I could see that happen.
Well, and prophecy is just so intoxicating. Like, how can you not want that to
yeah.
go through?
I also think it's very possible that since everybody's at Stark Party Central
yes.
with Arya, who can steal either Tyrion or Jaime's face if she wants,
yes,
that could be
still
how she gets to cross Cersei off her list, is she kills Jaime, takes his face. And then it's actually Arya that finally kills Cersei with Jaime's face.
So she has to kill somebody to take their face, right?
Yes,
yeah.
I believe.
Because I don't want Jaime to die.
Yeah.
But I do want Arya to kill Cersei. So I'm conflicted.
Well, so wait a minute. Which would be more satisfying to you, Ms. Johnson?
I don't know.
Would you prefer Arya killing Cersei or Jaime killing Cersei?
I guess in the end, as long as Cersei's dead, I don't much care.
I think it's going to be Jaime. Because
yeah.
I think
yes,
that Arya's
I think that would be more
Arya's
satisfying.
Beef against Cersei is that Cersei had Ned killed, which
yeah.
isn't exactly true. It was Joffrey who did that.
That's true.
So I don't think that Arya's killing Cersei, even though she really, really wants to,
yeah.
would be as satisfying to we in the audience.
And Germ loves circular narratives and the Kingslayer becoming the Queenslayer.
Yes.
To be clear, Germ is
yeah.
what we call George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
Just in case that
yeah.
was confusing.
I found out something interesting about him.
Oh yeah?
First of all, that he has, I'm not going to say left the show, but kind of taken some distance from it.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was supposed to write an episode for each season,
mm-hmm.
which he did quite usually the big battle episodes. He wrote, for example, the Battle of the Blackwater episode. The last episode he was credited with was The Lion and the Rose, also known as The Purple Wedding.
Uh-huh.
But apparently, his script so varied from what the showrunners wanted that they just kind of agreed he wouldn't do it anymore.
Interesting.
He wanted to bring back characters and to go down paths that he does in the book. And even then, the showrunners were like, no, we got to keep this contained. We can't
yeah.
have all the new characters that you like to add. And then I found out he wrote in some interview that he was going to – back up a little bit. We all know there was a famous Lost pilot.
Right.
Uh-huh.
He had a cameo in the Lost pilot, the first pilot.
And it was terrible.
Yeah, the first pilot was terrible, and we can talk about that again if you want to. But George R. R. Martin had his cameo. He's supposedly a guest at the wedding, Daenerys' wedding, to Khal Drogo.
Khal Drogo.
Hi, I'm Carl. Khal Drogo, hi. I'm here about your insurance needs. That got cut. That's fine. And they invited him to come out and be in the show, finally show up in the show, the great, you know, mind that came up with all this. And he said no. He didn't go to Ireland.
Interesting.
And I'm like, if you were the progenitor of the greatest TV show of all time, wouldn't you want to be there as they shoot the last scenes and maybe even show up in one? I mean, Noah Syndergaard got to. Why not you?
It's such
a
complicated situation, though, because it's kind of the things that are going to be different about the show.
Yeah.
In some ways are his fault because he didn't finish the books.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
They're
right?
Totally
like,
his fault.
Like Benioff and Weiss are such fanboys that if the books had been finished, completed, written by the time they started shooting, they might have still taken some license to make it coherent television.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't have made big changes.
No,
I don't
they
think.
Absolutely would not have.
And
no question.
So it's really George's own fault that this is happening to him.
Yeah. He once said in one of the interviews I read, he said, I never imagined, he said, that they would finish this before I finished the
books. Yes. Yeah. Like, that's got to be real.
That's got to be hard.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't even know why we brought that up. But you were talking about Gurman. He likes circular endings. He likes...
Oh, yes. Yeah, we call him Gurm or Germ, depending on how we, you know, it's like GIF and JIF. Like, they're both fine.
We've lost the trot. Where are we?
Dragonstone. Let's talk about Dragonstone just for a second.
Even though people are all leaving
Dragonstone. Well, but Missandei and Grey Worm are going to hold down the fort, right?
Aren't they marching north? I thought they were marching north.
Are they heading
a different
north
way.
Too?
I thought everybody, I mean.
The Unsullied is definitely marching north.
I guess that makes sense. Okay, so they're marching north.
I think everybody's going to Winterfell. I don't think anybody, with the exception of Cersei.
Except Euron.
Except Theo, who's going to fight Euron to rescue. But Euron, for all we know, is going to Winterfell. But no, I doubt it. One of the big questions is where Euron and the Golden Company are going to show up and when. Because they're going to. It's just a question of, is it going to be before the big battle? My bet is afterwards. But who knows?
Yeah.
The 55 days it took to shoot that night battle. Have me really excited about that night battle.
Okay, so let's talk about that in just a second. You're listening to Nerd at Recaps Game of Thrones with Peter Sagal. Trisha, you just hinted at the night battle, which, everything I've read makes it sound like it's going to be so intense to watch. But first, can we talk about the trailer a little bit, since that's like things we have seen?
Yes, and doesn't feel spoilery to talk about this.
No, it can't be a spoiler if it's in the trailer.
Because I have gone deep on the internet on the early reviews of episode one because the premiere has happened, so there are a whole mess of people who have seen it and they've been writing reviews in cryptic ways, and some people took some screen caps of things, but I'm not going to do any of the spoilery things here.
I don't want to hear it if you have them. Spare me.
I have some.
All right.
But in the trailer, I think that's fair game.
Yeah.
And it feels like the trailer is the first two, maybe three episodes. And we think three because we see what looks like this big night battle at Winterfell.
Uh-huh.
And that's apparently when this battle is going to happen. 55 days. And by days, I mean nights.
Yes.
It took them to shoot this in the cold and the mud. And, you know, Kit Harington has made it very clear that that was not pleasant
for
any
have.
Of them.
Apparently the one thing they were allowed to talk about pre-press for this is how miserable it was shooting the battle.
Yes.
That's it. They can't say anything else.
Because it was just hard and cold.
Yes.
And, and we know that Arya is bloodied and running from someone in some hallways.
Right.
Somebody has taken to lightening that footage to try to see if they can see who is chasing her. And it's at least two figures, but we're not sure who. I like the theory that when the Army of the Dead gets to Winterfell, one of the things they can do, of course, is raise anyone from the dead to join the army.
And she's actually being chased
by Zombie Ned.
Well, that... A, is an idea I haven't thought of, and it makes me just, woo, that's spooky. But it does bring up something which I made in my notes thinking about this, which is one thing we haven't seen yet, and they've been hinting it could happen. With the exception of Viserion, the dragon, no character who we know and like has been resurrected from the dead by the king, by the Night King.
We have that one moment where there's the one wildling who we kind of got to know over the course of one episode who pops up at the end.
Yes.
And so we know it's possible for it to happen that quickly.
Yes. So it is entirely possible that who knows?
Zombie anybody.
Tormund Giantsbane, Jorah Mormont, anybody could, by the end of this TV series, be walking around blue eyes slashing at our dear friends.
Ugh. Yeah.
But yeah, the idea of the corpses in the crypt rising up is very spooky.
It really is. It's kind of
because what else would scare Arya that much? She's pretty hard to scare.
Yeah.
And they clearly also wanted you to ask that question.
Yeah.
Like, what is terrifying Arya?
For sure.
Because it's got to be big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think beyond that, we know that, you know, Gendry is there and there in the forges. There's a couple of shots of the Unsullied sort of standing at the ready and others. And it looks like there's dragon glass on the top of everyone's spear. So it looks like they're ready, you know, which is interesting because the dragon, again, time passing.
Yeah.
The dragon has knocked down the wall. I guess they are on foot. So it's going to take them a little while to get from the wall to Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been able to make a lot of weapons very quickly.
Yes.
Which is convenient.
Yeah.
For a fair fight.
Yeah. Whew. I was about to make fun of the people who have so obsessive with this that they're lightening the trailer trying to get more details. He said on the podcast talking about the TV show that he's been looking forward to doing
and slowing
for
2 down
years.
Frame
yeah,
by frame
exactly.
To see where exactly
you
Tormund
go, obsessive
is.
Fans.
Also, it's not in the trailer, but it's in the finale episode it's in the penultimate episode when we see the eye of the sword open up.
The eye of the sword? What is
so
that?
So Jon's sword,
yes.
Which is Longclaw, which is actually the Mormont sword.
Yes, which he tries to give back to Jorah, and Jorah says, no, keep it. And may it serve you and your children, he says. Well, go on.
So when Jon is submerged under the ice water and we think like, whoop, he's dead. Not really, but you know, we're meant to think that for a second.
Yeah.
The eye on his sword.
I remember this from last time.
Beforehand. What is that about?
I thought that got debunked.
I thought
all the nerds went nuts about this.
Oh, I rewatched it.
It's like Mary Poppins' umbrella.
Yep, but that's like, what's going on there. That's
like
my theory.
Is it like a blue, like...
No, it goes from like a closed eye to an open
it
eye.
It just opens.
Yeah, which makes me think that either Bran can warg into
sword?
Of anything. I don't know. Either somebody's warging into it or...
Last night I dreamed I was a sword. I lay there.
I opened my eye.
I don't see it.
I don't like working into inanimate objects. I think that's boring.
Us no like. it's against
the rules. Any other I don't mean to just shoot you down. Are there any other theories about the eye thing?
I just think it's interesting that the sword maybe has some sort of connective power of some kind to other things.
Yes.
And that it is connected to Jon in a different way. And that's also why he couldn't give it back.
Yeah. Well, it's like Gryffindor's sword.
That's what I'm saying. Swords sometimes are, you know, loyal.
Yeah,
it's
and
nothing
stuff.
Oh,
like
for sure.
Gryffindor's sword.
Why not?
It's not going to appear
You're
when
just
you need
pull
it.
Pull it out of the hat.
It's not going to happen.
Fox is just going to drop it off for you.
The Peter's opinion falls in the forest. Does anybody give a shit?
Justin is our producer. He knows when to play the jingles, and that was very well timed. So, who are you guys going to be the saddest to see die?
I've been thinking a lot about this, and I'm very worried about it.
All right. Can we say, can we make our predictions about who is going to? I know this is the game, as it were, but I couldn't help but think about it. There are two people I know are going to die because they said they were going to die, and that's the Red Witch.
Right.
And
I must die in this country.
And Varys.
Oh, yeah.
And you will too, she says to him. So they're doomed. They're going to die.
And the Hound, the last time we really heard from him was at the Zombie Summit, and he said something about how he thought he was going to die, and he didn't want it. He left King's Landing because he didn't want to die there, and now he's back. That made me think things
you
are not going to go well for
in
the
our
Hound.
In our recap of that episode, how many people refer to their own death in that
a
episode?
Lot
I thought
of
was perceptive.
Did.
And you're right. I watched it again. It's like, yeah, people are constantly saying, this is where I die, huh? And nobody dies.
Right.
Which I think was a way of teasing the audience. You all tuned in for the season finale of season 7 expecting us to kill off a major character, and we're not gonna.
Right.
Littlefinger.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's partly what makes the stakes so high. I mean, obviously, there are a number of reasons why these final 6 episodes are a big deal. But there are so many storylines that have to get resolved.
Right.
So many people who just simply can't make it to the end.
Right.
And well, they could.
Yeah.
Well, sure. But I mean, if you have a epic battle in episode 3.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of people die. I think most contenders for the throne have to die.
Right.
But the more minor characters, you know, we could see whoever ends up on the throne next to their 3 favorite sort of B-level characters.
Yes.
Having survived in some way.
Well, I keep thinking, oddly enough, about not something from Game of Thrones, but actually something that Harrison Ford, of all people, said about Han Solo. And he was saying that during the making of the original Star Wars trilogy, he was arguing with George Lucas that Han Solo should die. And his argument was, there's nothing left for this guy to do.
Yeah.
And what he meant was, like, this character had played himself out. He had learned his lessons. He had gone from being a rogue to a good guy.
Yeah, he did the right thing.
But it was so hard to imagine, like, Han Solo going off, and as we found out, he wasn't going to be a good husband to Leia.
Uh-huh.
And I
what were the clues?
Yeah, I know. But I
Han
keep thinking,
Solo, though.
But that's, if you think about it, that's so true of so many characters. Most in Game of Thrones, primarily, Jorah Mormont. I've been saying Jorah Mormont's got to go for years
so
now.
Long.
Well, that's the thing. Like, clean it up. You know, like, yeah,
Jorah Mormont's got to die for Daenerys. The Hound is like such a great character for a redemptive sacrificial death of some kind.
Yes, he really is.
Jaime is another character like that. And whether or not the showrunners decide to indulge those, I don't want to say stereotypical, but accepted tropes is another question. But there are people who are just screaming for that kind of ending.
I think Brienne kind of fits into that category too, though that worries me very much.
All she's wanted to do is die in somebody's service, so maybe she'll get the chance.
To
me, like, the whole big question looking at the final season and everything is how much these guys want to play by these guys, I mean Benioff and Weiss, want to play by the accepted rules of TV. I.e., how much of a happy ending is this going to be?
Right. Yeah, I kind of think we should just assume that it's not going to be a happy ending.
Well, there's like a spectrum. Uh-huh. And an end of one spectrum, and the happy end is like the end of Star Wars. Well, they're all fine and they're all standing around, or rather the end of Return of the Jedi where they're having a party in the Ewok forest. That's not going to happen.
I mean, if there was a party in the forest.
Stark Party Central. I just have this image of the long shot of Winterfell they use sometimes. Uh-huh. And you just see like a disco light and you hear like a boom, boom, boom.
Exactly,
that's a
just
dance
that deep
party.
Bass, yeah.
And the other end of the spectrum is the joke that I've heard from somebody, which is like in the first 10 minutes of the last episode, the Night King kills everybody, the zombies all rise, and then they stand there for 50 minutes because they have nothing else to do. Because who's left to kill? So somewhere between those, but to which end it's going to be closer, I don't know.
And will we finally get to figure out what it is the White Walkers want?
Yes. Yeah.
I read, who was it? I think it was an interview with the actor who plays Samwell Tarly.
John Bradley.
John Bradley. And he went on about that, I think.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, it's just like Trisha, which I thought was nice.
Which is nice because I am the maester and so is he.
Exactly.
Do you want to talk about what you mean by that a little bit?
So I really think that it's the most boring kind of fantasy when you're just fighting a sort of anonymous evil all the time.
Yeah. Sauron.
Yeah, it's not as interesting.
Yeah.
And so the whole show has been about trying to convince humans that they need to understand their humanity and fight the sort of non-human force. Mm-hmm. But as we know, the Children
and
of the Forest...
defend the realm.
And defend the realm. But as we know, the Children of the Forest created the White Walkers. They are men who have become this thing.
Right.
And, you know, there's all the, like, is it a climate change metaphor, all that. I'm less interested in sort of what it's a metaphor for and more interested in there are clearly generals...
Yeah.
Who are in charge of this, like, undead horde, the Jason and the Argonaut skeleton version of these guys. I'm not interested in. Those are zombies.
Right.
But the White Walkers are not. They have an idea. They have the forethought to bring giant chains to drag dragons out of lakes.
Yes.
They're smart. They want something.
That's true.
So
maybe they
what
just
they want
to go to the beach. I mean, seriously, they've tried just to get south of the wall for so long. We assume it's because they want to kill everybody. Maybe they're just, you know, they're tired of, like, living in the winter. Maybe they're like my parents and they just want to go south for the winter. And
maybe.
They're snowbirds?
They're snowbirds, basically. Yes, they're snowbirds.
The White Walkers are snowbirds.
They're going to go down.
The theory we now have.
King's Landing. They're going to go to the beach. And then, you know,
they're going
to
make sure there's good
the
delis
end of the
in Miami.
Season, they're going to turn around and go back.
I mean, but also, like, when we see them taking the first thing we see, right? In, I believe, the books and also in the show, one of the first things we see is a White Walker taking a baby and turning that baby into a White Walker.
That, I think, comes later, but it happens in the first season, I think. It's when
in the books?
I don't remember. I don't remember. But there is that famous scene where, like, one of Craster's boys is taken out in the woods.
And so that means that White Walkers who are not zombie whites age and grow up, because otherwise what is the point of having
a baby White Walker?
A baby White Walker.
Sure.
So do you think there's like a scene, because they got to grow up, right?
They're
little
Walker,
infants.
Like White a Walker scene bat mitzvah?
No, like a White Walker village where the little White Walkers who aren't quite have all the bald stringy hair yet are like playing and pretending to fight with icicles
and
stuff.
Like, maybe the White Walkers are the good guys. Like, we are meant to see this version of humanity as so corrupt that maybe the White Walkers think they're, like, going to cleanse, use the winter in a sort of Noah's Ark-y kind of way.
Right.
To cleanse humanity and rebuild it.
That is hilarious. And it turns out they were the good guys the whole time.
I mean,
it's
otherwise,
possible.
It does seem like serious oversight to just create these big bads that are that uninteresting.
We talked about it, I guess, over the years as we've discussed this show, which is what made the show really interesting was that it wasn't the typical fantasy thing
right.
of the Dark
so
Lord.
So it can't just be Sauron.
It does seem weird that if that's – and we talked about seeing this coming, that that's what it will boil down to is the great fight against the Dark Lord who's just evil. He's just
– he's got to have a political point of view.
I like the fact that you think he's kind of sympathetic. I do.
Well, and I do think it's really interesting that we have – these are like two huge questions that need to be answered in these final six episodes, right? Is like what's going to happen in the fight in the north?
Yeah.
And then who's going to take over from there?
Right. And so I have a prediction as to who ends up sitting on the Iron Throne.
Yes.
Is it Robin Arryn?
Nobody.
Yeah.
I think that because there was a wall. The wall is now broken.
Yeah.
We talked about the Iron Throne. The Iron Throne is going to get melted. I honestly believe that the throne itself, both literally and metaphorically, will be destroyed.
I think especially hearing both John and Danny having talked about that idea of like breaking the wall.
Yeah, breaking
wheel,
the wheel. Yeah.
You know, like
ending the game.
And yeah, yeah. I would be more interested in what I feel like John is on the better track than Daenerys is for that.
Yeah.
She seems pretty vindictive.
Yeah.
Well, but once she realizes she doesn't actually have a claim to it, maybe she's more likely to melt it.
Oh, that is something that we failed to mention, actually, in terms of where we left off.
That he is the legitimate heir.
He is the legitimate heir.
She is not.
Yes. And she is the aunt.
That John is officially a Targaryen.
Well, though, them hooking up, and I mean that in the romantic matrimonial sense, would solve that problem for her because then they could rule as king and queen because Targaryens are into incest.
Totally. Well, but part of the problem is that John already bent the knee to her, right?
Yeah. Well, it just makes for, you know, a more egalitarian relationship.
And in the trailer, we see them riding side by side on horses.
Yes.
Oh, and one in front of the other.
Speaking of riding together, I'm also predicting, and gosh, I always get into trouble. Remember me saying, oh, they're not going to kill Barristan Selmy. He's too great. but there's a question of like, so Samwell and Bran know who Jon is, but they have no proof. How are people going to accept that he's really Aegon Targaryen? Because the dragon will let him ride it. That is my prediction.
That's a pretty good one. So you don't think Bran's going to be like, look, man.
Well, I think Bran could say that, but he has a lot of people to convince who might have a reason not to believe it, including Jon. And so, I mean, because we've seen, there was a scene in which Jon confronts a dragon as Daenerys comes in to land after one of her expeditions. I think it was the one to kill all the Lannisters. And he sticks out his hand and the dragon kind of sniffs it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I think that's indicative of the dragon knows he's a Targaryen.
For sure. So should we listen to the voicemail we got about being sad about death?
There are lots of the main cast who I don't want to see die, but in terms of who I would be the most sad to see die, I would have to say Podrick and Hot Pie because they're just so good and they deserve to live long, happy lives. Thanks.
That is Heidi who had left us that little
And I appreciate the very first ASMR voicemail we've ever gotten.
That was a good one,
right? Yeah. I don't think we have to worry about Hot Pie. Even these show creators and everything they've done are not sadistic enough to cut to the Inn at the Crossroads just to see Hot Pie get it.
You're probably right.
Hot Pie's last,
we don't have time for that.
And Hot Pie's last lines to Arya in their meeting where he tells her about, you know, everybody's back at Winterfell, is he says to her, you and I are just alike. We're both survivors. And I have no reason not to doubt him.
Oh, that's lovely.
But
well, then
it'll be bad to see Podrick go.
Yeah,
he's one in this show filled with even in which all the good people are occasionally terrible. He's the only person who's never been even for a second mean to anyone.
Right, because that's the thing. A lot of characters have won us over. Right, you think about the Hound or Jaime. Like these are very complicated characters who have done some pretty horrible things.
And you have really good characters like, for example, Daenerys Targaryen, who's done some pretty terrible things, like crucifying a lot of people.
Exactly.
And immolating the Tarleys in the last season. Mm-hmm. But here's Podrick, who's just nice to
everyone.
He's
just a good dude.
And he has a magic penis.
Yeah. As we are told.
So if you want to send us any questions over the course of this season, you totally can record yourself on your phone with a little voice memo app, and you can email it to us at nerdatrecaps@gmail.com. Yes, we made ourselves a little Gmail this time.
Well,
around.
That's very good. That's exciting? Very sophisticated. We've become a real podcast, finally. Just
exactly.
In time.
Just thanks, Gmail. I'm glad we made that happen. All right. Y'all ready to wrap?
No, there's one thing. No, never. Fine. Play
the patriarchy speaking, so ladies be quiet. Peter Sagal is the worst.
Now, one of the hard things about trying to recap or talk about this show is there's so many people doing it, and they're so smart, it's really hard to come up with an original thought. But I actually was thinking about something that I couldn't see anyplace else. There's a character that nobody has talked about. And that is R'hllor, the Lord of Light, the Red God.
Oh, yeah.
Who's been up to stuff.
Indeed.
There's a scene in which Beric is talking to, I think, the Hound, or maybe he's talking to Jon, I don't remember. But he says, the Red God has plans for us. He wants us to do something. There's a reason for us to be here, the fact that we're both still alive. And we've talked about the fact that out of all the deities who lurk around Game of Thrones world, he's the only one who seems real, who seems to actually have an agenda that he is working on via doing various magical things. He's in this to win it. And what it is he wants and how he is going to exercise that will, probably through Melisandre before she comes back and dies, or after she comes back before she dies, is going to play a role. And I couldn't guess what.
Well, and it is worth noting, too, then, that Jon and Dany have both been gotten benefits from.
Has Dany?
That magic, right?
Yeah, well, she's benefited from lots of dragon magic and Targaryen magic. But specifically, the Red God has not yet, I think, acted overtly through
Dany. Wasn't that witch who helped her out in season one?
Was she a witch of the Red God?
I thought maybe she was, but maybe I'm making that up.
A priestess of the Red God? There was another
Trisha
one.
Shaking her head no.
I don't think so, exactly. But the prince or princess who was promised, I love that sort of convenient degendering of the prophecy that
You're
we heard.
You're translating it incorrectly, says Missandei.
But the point that I have sort of been talking about is that actually if Jon is king in the north and Dany is queen, then neither of them is a prince or a princess. They're both... And neither of them ever was.
Although prince or princess could mean like offspring of royalty, which we now know they both are.
Also be Gendry at that point.
True.
It could be many others who could be the prince or princess who was promised. And so I think that should be interesting too. Again, to have that much talk through the series about this prophecy and then have it not get wrapped up in some way.
Yes.
And to not have the Lord of Light do something, whether it's win the fight for everyone or at least make their wishes known.
Yes.
That would be disappointing. We need that loose end tied up.
I agree.
We for sure do. So we have recapped seasons 5, 6, and 7. You can find those on our website, wbez.org/thrones. We have a super cool newsletter. It's going to come out every Monday afternoon, kind of to coincide with these recaps coming out. We'll have some Game of Thrones links in there and information about actual Nerdette as well. We are at Nerdette Podcast on Twitter. Peter, you are at Peter Sagal. You can also use the hashtag Nerdette Recaps. Do you want to thank this person who left a nice review, Tricia?
I do, because Treps33 on Apple Podcasts said, always a great listen. The girls are amazing, and Peter is just okay.
Not going to argue.
The show is produced by us with help from Justin Bull. Our executive producer is Brendan Banizak, and our theme music was composed by Andrew Edwards of Blue Police Box Music. So, see you guys next week.
Absolutely.
Huh? Hello. This is a prepaid collect call from...
Who loves you, baby?
Oh, an inmate at Florida Correctional Institution to refuse charges. Thank you for using Team Medic. You may start the conversation now.
He's been waiting a while.
All right, let's take it. Is this Harry?
Hello? Harry.
Harry?
Come on.
Are you okay?
Hello?
Man?
Harry, how are you? How'd you end up in Florida?
Yeah, it's kind of a long story. There was a visitation thing with, I don't really want to get into it, but I have an idea that I wanted. It's actually an opportunity that I wanted to share with all of you on the ground floor, really the basement,
right,
about kind of a Thronesitions idea.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, we'll do a podcast. Have you heard of this thing?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I hear they're growing in popularity.
Yeah, Can you play the music where Peter's being an asshole?
The wisdom of the ages wrapped up in the body of a short, bald game show host.
Thank you.
We're paying for the call. You go on.
Okay, I'm paying. I'm paying with, you don't even want to know how I have to pay for this call. You don't want to know what goes into paying for this call. Okay, so we do a podcast.
Yeah.
You guys fly down to Mississippi, and Peter lives there for 6 months, and I will fix a clock, and then Peter gets mercury poisoning.
Wow.
That's the podcast. That's, and we play the transition music. What do you think? It's going to be a fucking hit.
Wait a minute. So this podcast involves me slowly dying for 6 months?
I kind of like
it. I figured you would, but I don't know if you represent a large demographic, Greta.
No, I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to die. I think if you did die, it's a plus for the show. You know,
it would be great for ratings.
It would show commitment.
It would.
But I think we do the podcast. We forget whatever you guys are doing. I'm actually unclear on what your whole show is.
We know.
I know that the kids listen to it. I could work in some of the transition music. And you could talk about the show with the zombies and the dragon and stuff, and maybe that's part of the show too. I don't know. It's not focused, but it's there. You know what I mean? Like there's a thing there. You got to feed it.
Yeah. Every great idea starts with a terrible one.
Terrible idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, Harry, I think we got to pass, man. I'm sorry, but it's not going to work.
What do you mean pass? Why would you pass? Why would you pass?
We just, you know, we got a lot of other stuff going on, I think.
What else do you possibly have going on? There's nothing else going on. You have one season left of your stupid show. The dragon is south of the wall, so everybody is up the creek without a canoe. He's continuing to say his dumb
You suddenly
shit
know a lot more little about this show than you did about eight
have,
seconds
have
ago.
Have they been watching this in the prison break room?
They must have been watching.
I don't know. I mean, what else is there to talk about? You guys got to think of your next chapter here. Okay, you're thinking small.
We appreciate that you're thinking big
Harry.
For us.
Tiny
we
little
appreciate
brain
the idea.
Are thinking tiny.
I think that's time, Harry.
Harry, yeah, I think you should probably.
Okay, if you don't like the idea, I'll take it somewhere else. And your small little world will be so exploded by my fucking success that you little shit birds will never come back from it. You'll never host a stupid little show again, and you will eat off a plate for the rest of your stupid fucking lives.
All right, do you still want us to make sure we put that money in your commissary for the Snickers bars?
I think he hung up on us.
Oh, he
man.
Did.
That's
he's
it.
He's done.
Wow.
Harry Strickland, ladies and gents.
I don't know if prison changed him or if he's in the process of changing the prison.
That's a really great question.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.